Hello, this is Thomas Keegan with LibertarianProgressive.com and also blogtalkradio.com/election channel. And that's where you're going to find so far about 30 interviews with independent and third party candidates who are number one on the ballots and number two, the only third party or option in or the third option, third party or independent option in their districts. And so we've been lucky enough to conduct these interviews, and it's been great. And today we have an interview with Lenny Ladner, who's a Libertarian for the U.S. House of Representatives in District 7 in Tennessee. And so let's give him a call and conduct this interview. We just want to let people know their options. We believe a responsible media will interview candidates who are on the ballot. If they're on the ballot and they have a statistical chance to win, then we believe a responsible media will include them in the debates, interview them, and educate and inform the public of their options. So we're not telling you who to vote for, but we want you to know all the options, where they stand, and their qualifications, and who your best option is. You can decide that. So let's give Lenny a call.
Hello.
Hi, good day, Lenny. This is Thomas Keegan with LibertarianProgressive.com. Good to talk with you today, sir. And we're talking with Lenny Ladner for Congress and Tennessee's 7th District for the U.S. House. And again, that's Ladner, L-A-D-N-E-R, the number 4, Congress.com. And how are you doing this Wednesday afternoon, sir?
Well, I think it took me 20 minutes to go a quarter mile in Indianapolis. I've been doing fine. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and it's wonderful to be able to talk to someone who is giving their district another option this November 8th, which is just about 40 days away. Let me ask you, have you been in any debates? Are there any debates coming up in your district?
Nope. The incumbent won't touch me. She won't go near me. She won't go within 25 miles of me because I expose her record. This is supposed to be a conservative Republican. And the reality is all she does is introduce these bills, which in some way, shape, or form wind up increasing the size, the cost, the reach, and power of government. She says they don't do it, but any time you introduce a bill, that's what it does.
So let me it's just you against a Republican in your district. There's no Democrats in this.
There's a Democrat, but this.
Yeah, but they don't have a chance.
You know, it's interesting. A certain Chamber of Commerce, I'm not going to mention names, invited me to speak. And I already had load going home. I was already loading load going home. I already had plans. At the last minute, I get a call. They're canceling it. Why are you canceling it? Well, the incumbent can't show up. So? Why can't you have me there? Oh, we want a debate. We don't want you introducing yourself. But let me tell you, listeners, about these chambers of commerce. Mm-hmm. What they want is more government. And what they want is a representative that'll bring home some bacon once in a while, like money for a senior center, money for an indoor swimming pool for the juvenile delinquents. And the only way the incumbents get to bring home money is if they vote for a bill that nobody wants because that bill is earmarked.
I understand. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. I think there's a 2-second delay there. Yeah.
When you get that nice letter from your congressman, look at all these things I did. All of that money came from taxpayers or future debt. And the worst thing about the earmark is usually they earmark between 5 and 10% of a foreign aid bill for local projects to get people to vote for it. That's what they do. And that's another reason is certain Chamber of Commerce, not mentioning names, didn't want me because I exposed that. But let me tell you what my platform is.
Sure.
And anybody out there can do this. You do not need to be smart. You do not need to be well-read. You do not need to be an expert on Mises or Rothbard or any of those great, great guys. You don't. You need to run for office, preferably House of Representative or State Representative or County Commission. And you need to judge all of these bills that you're going to vote on by a simple standard. In other words, every bill is judged the same way. And that standard is, if this bill passes, will it increase the size, the cost, will it extend the government's reach or power? And if so, you vote no. You don't need to be an expert on foreign aid. You don't need to be an expert on the Middle East. You don't need to be an expert on weapons. You don't. You just need to get out there and run and say, hey, I'm going to vote no so the government don't grow. And you'd be surprised.
That's a good platform.
It's real simple.
Vote no so the government doesn't grow. Yeah.
Yeah. But again, let me repeat myself. I'm running for Congress, and whenever I speak, I'm going to speak tomorrow night in Honeywell, Tennessee at the Rio Colorado. According to my friend Brad Martin, who runs the Hickman County newspaper, it's the best Mexican restaurant in the state. Well, it's the best Mexican restaurant in Honeywell. I don't really travel that much except in the truck. But, you know, my whole thing is I'm going to tell you how I'm going to vote. I'm going to give you a reason to vote for me by how I'm going to vote. And how I'm going to vote is no on anything, no matter how they put the bill together, that would increase the size, the cost, the reach, and power of government. And that's what people don't want to hear, and both parties are afraid of that their candidates get exposed.
So anything that would give more freedom, you would look at it, but anything that would take away more freedom, you know, you're going to vote no against that. Now, let me ask you, have you challenged your opponent to any debates? It just seems unbelievable that are there going to be any debates at all? I mean, it just seems unbelievable.
And I was advised by a very close friend of mine, Charlie Smith, not to challenge her. And the reason is I'm running against all of these clowns, with the exception of Tom Massey and maybe Amish. They all got to go. All of them. And the Republicans, believe it or not, are worse than the Democrats, because the Democrats will tell you that they're going to grow the government. The Republicans will – the Democrats will grow the government a lot. The Republicans will grow it a little. Does that make sense?
No, that makes perfect sense. I mean, you don't know what you're getting, and they'll just kind of put it on the debt card instead. And so that counts just as much as raising your taxes. Well, let me ask you about some specific issues. I mean, even though there's an a holistic approach.
Tom,
that
can,
you
I,
say,
can I?
Yeah,
can
go
I
ahead.
Just say one thing? Okay, freedom is the opposite of slavery. And if you want to know how much of a slave you are, what did you pay in income tax last year? Okay, I'm not asking you. Liberty is what they're taking from us. Liberty is a negative expression. It's the opposite of tyranny. Tyranny is arbitrary government. So when the ATF gets $5 million for a program, that's going to target gun owners. That's tyranny. All right? There are no bills, and no bills have ever been introduced that actually promote liberty or freedom. The best we could do is to get people in the House of Representatives to stop the growth in government and then cut back these agencies in a reverse fashion. They're expanded.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, one other thing. So you're not afraid of debates, and just to be clear,
no.
If you happen to be elected in November 8th and 2 years from now, you have someone wanting to challenge you, and let's say you're the incumbent, would you hide away from debates at that point, or would you be willing to debate any challengers potentially?
Let's talk. I don't have a problem.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Yeah.
In 2014, when I ran, a bunch of organizations had candidate forums. They're not doing it this year because the presidential election. Okay. And most people had heard me said, I'm about the only one that knows what's going on. By the way, the incumbent would not show up because she's funded by a lot of special interests and wealthy individuals, and Chisholm really have to defend his seat. I mean, I don't have any money. I'm not raising any money. Anyway, let's go to the questions you wanted to ask. The traffic's actually moving here.
Yeah, so as far as the some reforms that you'd want to bring if you were selected or elected as U.S. Congress member, and again, we're talking with Lenny Ladner, which is Ladner, the number 4, congress.com, and on your website, you do list a bunch of issues here in the issues link, and so let me ask you one very important thing about war and peace. I mean, there's, you know, I guess it's the best of times, it's the worst of times. How do you envision America and our relationships with the rest of the world, let's say, in an ideal situation, if we could have the ideal policies, let's say 10 years out, 5 years out, however it might be, but in an ideal situation, what should be, how should we be interacting? What should be our relationship with other countries? And you know, this can get into trade, it can get into war and peace. How do you envision the U.S. and its role in the world?
I like what George Washington said, and it's debatable whether he actually wrote the speech or Alexander Hamilton wrote the farewell address, but George Washington set up our foreign policy, and our foreign policy was, quote, commercial relations with all, entanglements with none, meaning none. The other part of an ideal libertarian or American foreign policy would be to go back to the Monroe Doctrine. I didn't notice until Saturday, I was at a World War II reenactment. There was some evidence that the Nazis were setting up a base in Antarctica, and we sent an expedition down there, and we were prepared to declare war based on the Monroe Doctrine. We didn't find any evidence of it, by the way. It's something they've kept out of history. But We need to mind our business, and we need to go back to the original concept of this country, which was liberty and minding our business. As far as trade, when you have two businessmen trading, it's one thing. When you have governments trying to regulate trades, NAFTA, GATT, Codex Alimentus, etc. That's just more government. I'm in favor of getting out of all of these trade agreements because all they do is give the government more power. Pick a trade agreement. God help us if this TPP passes.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like any of them. And under NAFTA, and I tried to explain this to owner-operator independent driver, which is a waste of time. It's a lobbying group. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I own and operate an 18-wheeler, and I'm actually working as I'm talking to you. All right? You can see a picture of it on the website. Basically, we have to, under NAFTA, we have to harmonize our laws with those of our trading partners. You know what that means to the Second Amendment, right?
I hope nothing. I mean, what does it mean to it?
It means we have to harmonize. Under NAFTA, we have to agree to the Canadian and Mexican laws. So if you're a congressman and you signed on to NAFTA back in 1994, I see a tribunal happening eventually. The people in this country are waking up, and they do not like what they see. But as far as the trucks, they're going to put in these speed limiters to comply with the Canadian speed limiters. I got a better idea. Leave us alone. Let us work. We're very productive. And anyway.
No. That's great. And now, what do you think about, like, I mean, is the answer, most people do want a whole new Congress. I mean, you know, I remember Bill Buckley a long time ago saying you could probably just pick people out of the phone book and you'd get better representation. But besides that, I mean, if you look at the polls, people say they would throw them all out. They say we need term limits. They say, you know, the trust in Washington is at all-time lows. The trust in the media is at all-time lows. It hasn't. This is not new. It's been that way for about a decade at least, and it's gone up and down. And so you know, but all I see in Congress is Republicans and Democrats. And so is this possibly the year where of the third party of the change candidates, I mean, the real change candidate, maybe bring some competition into Congress besides just, you know, Republican versus Democrat? Maybe we need some more competition.
Well, Tom, I got a question for you. What if I ran for office with the same platform as a Democrat and agreed to do the same thing that I agreed to do now, vote no on any bill which would increase the size, the cost, the reach, power to government, or as a Republican? You see, what we need is we need to get ordinary people in there to start running, all right? They don't need to know nothing. These politicians don't know nothing. And the majority's politicians are bought and paid for. Marsha Blackburn's bought and paid for. Diane Black's bought and paid for. Steve Cohen's bought and paid for. Jim Cooper. Roe, Duncan. I'll say it to their face. All right? I'm not going to say, I don't know how to fix the system. Oh, excuse me, I do know how to fix the system. Get rid of something called the Federal Election Commission, which makes it virtually impossible for an average, ordinary person to run for office. On my website, voteforlenny.com, it should be a page in our plan.
Yep.
Read what I'm proposing. Get rid of the Federal Election Commission and have somebody put up a bill taking away any and all taxpayer money from these non-governmental organizations, these advocacy groups, like the Sierra Club, Southern Poverty Law Center, Violence Policy Institute. I always say Sarah Brady at this point, but I don't say nothing bad about the Dead. I happen to like the Dead. I wish they would stay on tour. I mean, Grateful Dead.
The Grateful Dead.
But, yeah. But, you know, we've got to get people to see it's both parties to keep growing the government. Like I said, you got two good congressmen, Massey and Amash. The rest of them need to be removed.
Yeah.
And
that's true. And it probably, like you said, is going to take people, more people putting themselves in position so people have the option to select them, and then also getting the word out. What about, did you know, I just found this out not too long ago, that there were more asset forfeitures than actual burglaries or robberies in the entire United States. I think it was like last year. More asset forfeitures from the government than actual robberies or burglaries reported. What do you think about that?
It sounds like a robbery. It sounds like a robbery and a burglary to me. Under the Seventh Amendment, you have due process, and that search and seizure needs to stop. They have no right to the property. But it's going to take some people with, as the Sicilians say, belly to do something. See, a lot of these politicians are in bed with the local cops, and they think it's a good idea. I think it's a terrible idea. You know, if somebody's proven guilty, that's one thing. But they're not even making an attempt anymore. Theft.
People can be driving on the highway, you know, carrying like church donations to the bank or something. And because it's a lot of cash, it looks suspicious. You know, it could be just taken from them, and they might, you know, some people might not. Some people try to get it back, but they might not. I mean, it's, you know, that's crazy. Well, what about, let me ask you another kind of question that's a little bit different. Who's some of your favorite past or present people, Lenny? Could be elected or not.
Are we talking people that have run for office? Are we talking about writers, thinkers?
Anyone, yeah. And I know there's probably a lot, so just asking you if you don't mind naming it, just a few.
Ron Paul would be very, very close to the top of the list. But Ron Paul did not influence me to do what I'm doing or come anywhere close to influencing me. Ron's a good guy. He needs to be less of an intellectual. I would have to say, even though this gentleman's never run for office, my intellectual godfather, or as I say on my website, if you go to the links page and you scroll down, the smartest man I know is a guy by the name of Charlie Smith. He's never written any books. He's helped a lot of people write articles. He's done a lot of speaking over the years. But Charlie is the one that came up with that idea of scrap, scrap. If it increased the size, the cost, the reach, the power to government, scrap it. And he would be up there in the top one or two. As far as people elected to office, Ron Paul, Larry McDonald, believe it or not, and you're a little young for this, George Wallace was a good guy. He actually was. Despite what a lot of people in the history books say.
Well, it's very interesting to get, you know, to hear some new names too, because yes, when you go to your links link on your webpage, which is Ladner, L-A-D-N-E-R, the number 4, congress.com, at the very bottom there, yeah, Charlie Smith is the smartest man I know, and it has a link to more information about him. And on there, you also have some of, you know, some articles that you've written in the past. One of them was called, Is Your Congressman a Zombie? can you explain right. that just a little bit?
Basically, and I'm not doing nearly as much video anymore, but all of these congressmen are programmed. Robotic representatives, is your congressman a zombie? You know, why do all of the Republicans vote for Republican bills and the Democrats vote against them and the Democrats vote for Democratic bills? All of these bills increase the size, the cost, the reach, the power of government. They're worthless. They all work in lockstep. They're zombies. They're mind control slaves, all of them.
Yeah,
and then they'll have the nerve. Yeah, yeah. I think it's called Congressional Robots. The video. It's a little essay based on the video. I think the video I shot Christmas Day 2009. It's all pointing. It's all. You know, it's like I said on the website. Since 2008, nothing has changed. Trade deficit got larger. The debt got larger. We got more zeros in the government. I mean, employees, that's what they're doing. They're building a dictatorship.
Yeah, we're definitely on a trajectory. It's not good. But, Lenny, I have two more questions for you. And let me ask you this one fundamental question. Is it whether you win or lose or how the game is played that matters most?
I don't believe in the term any means to an end. I don't believe in that. I think you have an obligation to play the game correctly. My opponent will not play the game correctly. But one thing I would love to do is to really force her hand and force her to bring people into the district to speak for her, and then you'll know. If there are any good Republicans, the good Republicans won't show up. Everybody in the district hates her, but, you know, she gets 100,000 votes of maybe 120,000, 130,000. She's not
and
one of my favorite people.
How are you going to stay in touch? Here's a kind of a side question off that one. How are you going to stay in touch with Congress, make sure that you don't get caught in the bubble? I guess, you know, you don't sound like you would, but I guess everyone is somewhat vulnerable to that. Honestly, and how would you stay, you know, not in that Washington bubble if you were elected?
Well, what they usually do to you, and Charlie was very close to a guy named John Russolo, who was a pretty good congressman out of Southern California in the 60s, 70s, maybe mid-80s. He actually was worth returning to office. And Russolo basically told everybody's being blackmailed here, you know, and the trick is what they do to a rookie congressman is, you know, you can either be a conservative or a liberal. I'm neither. I'm me. But what they'll do is, you know, you get a rookie congressman who's a conservative, and then the establishment will find somebody that he idolizes. So, like, you know, they would get a guy with a conservative track record to knock on this guy's door and, you know, if you need something, I can help you out. I'll show you the ropes, blah, blah. And then a couple of weeks later, the rookie congressman who's been hanging around with the established congressman needs a favor, and the establishment congressman gets the favor for him, and then a couple of weeks later, the established congressman runs into the rookie congressman's office and said, I need a favor. Can you go speak to this group in Arlington, Virginia tonight because I can't make it? And when you go, they give you a cash bribe. I don't know how much time we have, all right?
So we got just a few more minutes left here. Yeah, yeah. So, but it sounds like what you're explaining there, like one lie builds on another lie kind of sort of thing.
Yeah, let's do it this way. When Ron got reelected, I think it was 94. It was either 92 or 94 when he went back into Congress. They gave him a room near a broom closet. And believe me, they weren't going to send any established conservatives to talk to him because he wasn't going to listen. Ron's not going to play ball with them, which is why Ron votes the way he votes. He reads the bills.
Ron Paul, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so Lenny, we appreciate your time and we appreciate your discussion here, and it's, you know, refreshing to hear your answers. I have one more question, and I'm going to combine it in two questions. On one of your articles, you wrote about the Patriot Act, and adding on to that, what does it mean to you if you were to take the oath for the U.S. Congress to, you know, defend the Constitution, and so what would it mean to you? How would you perceive taking the oath? And what do you say about the Patriot Act, sir?
Well, if you take an oath of office on a holy book, you better believe that there's a higher power above you, and you're going to make mistakes. But there's one thing, you know, you can make a mistake, but it's not about being a liar. The Patriot Act, and I love this, the Patriot Act was sold to us to protect you and me. The reality is the Patriot Act is there to protect them from you and me. The Patriot Act needs to be totally defunded, and I will say this right now, and possibly all of your directors of Homeland Security, especially this current clown, need to be tried and indicted for treason. You hear that, Jay Johnson? You hear that, Chertoff, Mr. Dual Citizenship? You hear that, Governor, what was the governor from Pennsylvania? Bush said he's a patriot, he's a liar.
Ridge.
The whole thing, Tom Ridge, he was the best of them, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's a lot coming from me. The whole thing needs to be taken apart. Clinton tried to get it passed twice. When they put the small bomb in the World Trade Center. By the way, neighbors of mine built those buildings. I don't want to look at the real casualty list because I may find somebody that I went to school with, grew up with. Okay? 9/11 was created. Did not happen by accident. I'm sorry. And when I see Giuliani, who absolutely makes me want to puke, okay? Where was he during 9/11? He was in Building 7. Great conservative, great. He's a rhino. He's a neocon. Garbage. It's the worst thing since Tom Dewey. Now, Patriot Act needs to go. It gives way, way, way too much power to the executive branch. And the executive branch needs to be stripped of power, if anything.
All right. Very well, Lenny. And let me just say, because that just made me think of something. It seems like, you know, the government can audit us. We can't audit them. Everything's like kind of in reverse. We're serving the government instead of vice versa. I mean, before 9/11, there were FBI agents saying, you need to watch this person, you need to watch that person, but some of the lower people in the field. But, you know, that didn't go up the chain of command, at least not in time or in a way that was good. And, you know, we're punishing whistleblowers like, you know, Edward Snowden and people like that. I mean, I think Jill Stein the other day, the Green Party candidate, said she would hire him in her administration. So everything seems like reversed, and it sounds like what you're trying to do is to reverse it back to normal. And so any final words of wisdom here, Lenny? And we do very much appreciate your time, and we appreciate you being on the ballot so we could do this interview. Yeah.
The country is divided. It's divided by racial lines. It's divided by ethnic groups. It's divided by religious groups. It's divided by people who think they're conservatives, people who think they're liberals. Everybody out there is brainwashed. The way to stop the brainwashing is to ask a question. I don't care if you're a liberal. I don't care if you're a conservative. I don't care if you're black, white, whatever. You're an American. And your rights are supposed to be protected. Your rights are supposed to be inalienable. And it's supposed to be protected by the United States Bill of Rights, United States Constitution Bill of Rights. Remember, I'm driving in traffic. Sorry. They're doing a lot of construction around Indianapolis. Ask a question about anything being proposed. Does that increase the size, the cost, the reach, and power of government? You'll see where we're heading. We need to stop the growth in government, and then we need to reverse it in the fashion that it was expanded. You do that through the budgetary process. And by the way, the other thing, we need to be out of the United Nations. That is not negotiable. And I would introduce or sponsor or co-sponsor Ron's bill, American Sovereignty Restoration Act, in addition to other ways of cutting their money off. The government has been going bad in reality since 1865. Appomattox destroyed states' rights. All right. Teddy Roosevelt getting us involved in foreign nonsense. Woodrow Wilson, who should have been immediately impeached. And then you go up to Roosevelt and the rest of it. It did not start yesterday.
Like that Billy Joel song, we didn't start the fire, it was always burning. Yeah.
But what they've done in this country, you see, what they did in Germany before Hitler took over was they totally destroyed the economy, and they waited for an opportunist who was an extremely... I'm trying to think of the word right now. It's kind of hard, but an extremely
opportunist is a good word. Yeah.
I don't think an opportunist makes money, but an extremely the brain is not functioning. They got Hitler in. The first thing Hitler did was they had a crisis, the Reichstag, and then he basically said, I want to be able to do anything I want to do. So they got something passed called the Enabling Act. And then Hitler would say, tell me your problems. And the solutions are always more and more and more government until he had total government, or until what was behind Hitler had total government. That's what they're doing here, but it's taken them since 1933 to do it, to really do it. 80-plus years. And the same people behind Hitler were behind Franklin Roosevelt. You look at the programs, and they are scary. A powerful leader, trying to think the exact word I want. An outspoken leader.
A demagogue?
Yes and no. By the way, you mentioned Buckley.
Yeah.
Buckley was never what he said he was. Buckley was big time internationalist, big time CIA.
Wow.
I have some issues with the late Gore Vidal, but when Buckley basically said, "I need to punch you in the mouth on TV," that was not right. I like Vidal's books. I may not like his lifestyle. I may not like some other things about him, but I do like.
Well, I like
1876.
Made a lot of great points, Gore Vidal. Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely worth listening to. Very rational person. A lot of good points that'll make you think. So it sounds like the overarching thing, besides putting a stop to put an emergency brake per se on what's going on, is building consensus. And so it looks like you're trying to build consensus and trying to unite instead of divide. Instead of divide and conquer, united we stand, basically.
The average people, regardless of what side they are on in any debate, need to see that this debate is being set up to divide them. Now, I'm sure tomorrow night I'm going to be asked a few questions on immigration. Let's go back to Ellis Island. No special deals for anybody. And, you take a course like my grandmother, let her rest in peace, and you go in front of a federal official and swear an oath, and you're an American citizen. I don't see anything wrong with that. And by the way, that kills these lawyers real quick. It kills them.
Yeah, and there's a lot less, government spending and stuff back then as well. Well, Lenny, it has been a pleasure, and we do thank you for your time today. So that is the interview, but people can find out more about Lenny's campaign for the U.S. Congress. And that's going to be at LadnerForCongress.com. And, of course, Lenny is running as a representative for Tennessee for this year, 2016, District 7. And, Lenny, it was a pleasure. Please drive safe, and good luck in your campaign this November 8th.
Thank you very much, and please send me a link to this, okay?
Oh, we definitely will. We definitely will. And it'll also be up at libertarianprogressive.com in 24 hours if anyone else wants to re-listen to this. And we'll send you a link for sure. Thank you again, Lenny. Appreciate it.
And I'll get it out. Thank you much. Thanks, folks.
Thanks,
bye.
Sir.